I entitled the sermon, The Right Way to Pray. And I'm reading to you from Matthew chapter 6, from verse 5. And really, we're just looking at the first few verses there, and then that what follows is the Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive the other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would make your name great in our lives. And that, Lord, we would pray to you with reverence and awe. That we would give you the glory due your name as we commune with you. We pray, Lord, for a blessing on this service and on this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People around the world pray. I think prayer is a part of the human condition, part of our DNA. When we are powerless in some area, we're kind of looking for a power to come and rescue us. And that's why I think it's part of our DNA. When we come to the end of our resources, when we can't find the energy or the solution in ourselves, we look away from ourselves and we look to someone or something to answer our prayers. Even atheists seem to pray at times, which seems somewhat ridiculous. Many of you know the incident that happened a couple of decades ago at Thredbo, where there was a landslide. And the only survivor of that landslide was a guy called Stuart Diver. Hopefully some of you remember that incident. Now what got me intrigued at the time was that the New South Wales Premier at the time, a known atheist called Bob Carr, said this. He said, "Our prayers are with them." And when you know someone's an atheist, you wonder, why in the world did he say that? He doesn't believe in God, he doesn't believe in any power. And yet, in the hour of need, that's what he said. People pray. In Bhutan, Nepal and India, Buddhists pray in particular ways. It's interesting. They have these things called prayer wheels. And on it in script are all kinds of different prayers. And this is rather easy in terms of being a Buddhist to pray. As you walk past through the market, there's the wheel, give it a bit of a spin. And for every sort of rotation, a prayer flies up to heaven. How good is that? And how easy is that? They also have prayer flags that you'll see on many houses. And I'm only assuming, but I gather that every puff of wind that blows and the flag flaps, that a prayer ascends to God. Again, quite an easy and convenient way to pray. Prayer, of course, is a part of every pagan culture. And we can think of Elijah and the priests of Baal. And we know that the priests of Baal, to get Baal to send fire on the sacrifice that had been prepared, cried out, danced, cut themselves to show their sincerity. And all they met with was nothing except Elijah's sarcasm. Why don't you cry a bit louder? He might be asleep. He might be in the bathroom. Wake him up. Elijah, on the other hand, in the quietness of the moment, just prayed sincerely. And God answered his prayer. Some of you, no doubt, have been to or seen the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And there you find all kinds of, you find Jewish men on the whole just bobbing away. And then they place little prayers written on pieces of paper between the cracks amongst the great stones. Again, I suspect that they pray this, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. They looked at an online tutorial on Islam, and they have a 10-minute ritual as well that they would repeat constantly in terms of prayer. Brothers and sisters, prayer, I think you'd all agree, is sincere, honest communication with God. Sincere, honest communication with God. And yet, humanly speaking, prayer, for most of us, is such a great struggle. We can easily fall into repetition and Christian platitudes. What Jesus is telling us here is that he wants us, our minds, to be engaged in prayer to God, engaged in prayers. Our prayers have to be a conversation with God. But brothers and sisters, don't we struggle? I look at myself in this regard. I brought up a family. Every mealtime, before and after, we would pray. And so often, the prayers could be similar to what I prayed earlier or the day before or even the week before. So easy to do. I'm sitting at a classes meeting. This is in my former life of a year ago. And you're just sitting there and the conversation gets towards lunch. They're going through different reports and stuff. My mind just falls away. And then the chairman of session just before, the chairman of classes just before lunch says, Gerald, would you lead in prayer for lunch? And just cover some of the things that we talked about during this meeting. And my mind's busy scrambling away. And I'm thinking of Goldilocks at this point. Call it a Goldilocks prayer. Don't make it too long. Don't make it too short. I hope it's just right. So easy to do, isn't it? To think about what would others think of me? How should I pray? So often this happens with small children. As a parent, you read the Bible, say after dinner. You read your devotion, maybe a children's devotion, and you ask one of your young children to pray. And they thank God for mum and dad, brothers and sisters, the food that they just ate, but there's no interaction with the devotion or the Bible passage that you have read. Always found it strange at catechism. We used to have catechism, say, on a Tuesday afternoon after school. And this was a constant thing. And I'd ask different people to pray at the end of our catechism lesson. So we'd learn some great truths from the Bible. And then I'd ask one of the young people to pray. And I can nearly say this 100% of the time, nobody reacted with anything that I taught in that particular lesson. So rather their minds weren't engaged, or they couldn't see any relevance to that, to prayer. But 100% of the time they prayed about this. And this must be part of their anxiety. Lord, give us a safe trip home, because I would drive them home. So rather my driving was particularly bad, and I thank Tim today for praying about this as well. But, or that's the only thing that they could think of. Lord, give us a safe trip home. I was playing squash about 13 years ago, and there was a commotion in the hallway behind us. So there's always a bit of a hallway, a passageway, just narrow. And from that passageway, you get into the various squash courts. Go into that one, or walk along, go into the next one, and so on. There's a commotion. And someone had come out of the, say, court number one. I was playing court number two. And had just fallen over and had a seizure of some kind. And they started to work on that person, people with skills, called the ambulance, people are working on it. And I admire the lady for doing this. A lady, so he'd moved upstairs at this time. And she started reciting some prayer from the Roman Catholic tradition. I admire her courage in doing that. But what she prayed had absolutely nothing to do with the person that had a seizure there. It was a Roman Catholic formulation of words, but had nothing to do with the situation unfolding there. And after that example of prayer, I also prayed, but I did pray for the person that was down there. Sometimes people pray the Lord's Prayer, but it becomes a formula kind of thing, a ritual thing. And that's what she did. In some Christian traditions, you see them with prayer beads and they move them along. Perhaps the Lord's Prayer is involved there as well. We have a grandchild now, and we go back to two, hopefully three in a few weeks. And with Andrew, our grandchild, we sing the prayer. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. And he knows it now. 3 years old, he knows it. He's a Vanderkolk, just way ahead. But you wouldn't want him to be praying that prayer when he's 21, would you? And yet sometimes we just don't grow in our prayer life. We just stick to the known, the ritual, the same words. We're just not engaged in prayer. When I was in the Netherlands about 40 years ago, as I thought about it, I visited my relatives there, and universally, none of them prayed aloud. Some of them prayed because I was there. Let's pray silently. But a big silent prayer tradition had developed in the Netherlands. And I think the idea was, well, you shouldn't put on your Christianity as a kind of display. It's more pious to not do that, to pray silently. But I also have to tell you this, that in every household that prayed silently, there was not one Christian child in that home. They had not been taught to pray at all. But prayer is such a struggle. Well, today we're going to hear that we need to have our minds engaged in prayer. We have to think about what we are praying. Prayer starts off, really, I think, in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve are walking in the garden with God. Prayer is communication. The 12 disciples were confused about prayer. And that's why they asked Jesus at one time, "Lord, teach us to pray." In Luke 11, you read this. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples." The model for prayer at that time was the Pharisees, scribes, religious leaders. And Jesus obviously didn't pray like they did. We read this in our text, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites." Well, that's the religious leaders. "For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them." And when you pray, prayer is necessary in the Christian life. And when you pray, the Catechism says, the Heidelberg Catechism says, that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. The most important part. Because God desires communication with his children. Which parent here doesn't desire communication with their children? But prayer is in many ways a great mystery to us. God is sovereign. He can easily function without our prayers, and yet he chooses to use our prayers for his glory, and it's a kind of mystery. We'll never work that out completely. We are to pray. That is what God says we are to do. For when you pray, God requires of his children that they communicate with him, his Father. But we're not to do it as the hypocrites do. And what should shock us is this, that in the most spiritual of activities, there can be hypocrisy and sin. The most spiritual of activities, hypocrisy and sin. So the Pharisees made a public display of their prayers. They loved to stand in the synagogue. They loved to stand on the street corners. Perhaps they had Daniel as their model. They knew Daniel prayed three times a day, as was his custom, and they worked that out to be 9 o'clock in the morning, midday, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it didn't matter where they were. At those times, they would stop and pray, and they were admired because of how religious they were. People go, "Wow, they're pious, they're religious." And people looked up to them and they lapped it up. Jesus says this in Mark 12, verse 40. He talks about the scribes there and he says of them, "For a show, they make lengthy prayers, for a show, for entertainment, for observation, they make lengthy prayers." Sometimes these things all begin with a good motivation, but they can so easily disintegrate, can't they, into just platitudes and repetitions. And it's all about us in the end. What do other people think of us? Do they think we're pious? Because we pray. Martin Lloyd Jones, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, writes that our tendency is to denounce the Pharisees without looking at ourselves. He writes that we can look at a drunk and say, "There goes a sinner." Or we see a person who is at prayer and think, "This is a devout and pious person." We are tempted to judge the true Christian character of a person from what we see. Jesus tells us this, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." I don't believe that this has anything to do with public prayers or private prayers. What I think
Jesus is teaching the disciples is that whenever we pray to God, we should always remember that God is the only audience. He is the one hearing our prayer. And it's not about me. Sometimes you might ask a person to pray, I'm not having a go at anyone here about this, but you say, no, I couldn't do that. I couldn't pray publicly. But that person perhaps is just concerned about what people will think of them when they pray. So they're thinking of themselves too, as opposed to someone else who likes to get up and pray and is thinking of himself or herself as well. What will people think of my prayers? Somehow when we pray, in our minds we have to have the thought, I'm praying to God. In races, and I'm no expert on races, but horses sometimes have blinkers on. That means they're not distracted by the other horses racing next to them. I kind of feel that we need a blinkered view when it comes to prayer, that our audience is God and we have to put away all other distractions. And perhaps that's why we say to our children, hold your hands, shut your eyes, so that they will block out the distractions. But we have to do that ourselves as people that lead in prayer, to think, I'm addressing myself to God. I'm speaking to Almighty God. I'm speaking to the one who created the heavens and the earth. That I, Gerald van der Kolk, or you, are speaking to the one who created all things. What a privilege that is, given to us in Jesus Christ as our only mediator, who died that the walls of separation would be removed, and that we have access to God anytime, anywhere. What a privilege. You can do that at any time. But we always need to stop and think, who am I addressing here? I am addressing Almighty God, the one who sits on the throne, the one who is not dead, the one who is being crowned, who has the voice of many waters. We're talking about this God. You can speak to that God. What an amazing privilege it is. And we can't just do that in a casual manner. We can't do that without thinking. We have to be engaged. We have to think to ourselves, who are we addressing at this point? We're addressing God. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, that he doesn't like beautiful prayers. We, on the other hand, if someone prays well here in this building, we might go to them afterwards and say, I really liked your prayer. Because we tend to like beautiful prayers. I'm not criticising the person praying, by the way. Some people have a wonderful way of praying. That's fantastic. But Martin Lloyd-Jones writes he doesn't like beautiful prayers, because he says prayer is honest communication with God. And he believes it should be in an everyday kind of conversation, not casual, but kind of ordinary, but respectful. He says it can reflect our joy and sorrow, but it is to be done simply and unpretentiously, not full of platitudes and empty phrases. I don't believe posture matters either. I think it's wonderful if you can kneel, because that helps you concentrate. If you hold your hands or close your eyes, all good. What's important is a heart that desires to express themselves fully and honestly and openly with God. And when you read the Psalms, surely that is what you get. Honest communication with God. So if I were to give you the one point today, I would suggest this to you when it comes to your prayer. Before you pray, always pause. Pause for a moment. I'm only asking for a moment of your time here. When you pray at home, or if you're driving in the car with your eyes open, or in church, please just pause for a moment. And the one question you need to ask yourself is this one: who am I talking to? It's just to gather your thoughts and remember who you are talking to. The one who died in your place. The one who created the world. The one who has all things in his hands. The one whom angels worship and heed. And so it's a kind of lift up your eyes kind of pause. Lift up your eyes and think, who am I talking to? And that should help us, I think. Drop the platitudes and just give God the glory in our prayers, because our minds are totally involved in what we are praying. I'm a person that loves the Lord's Prayer, which follows. And yet if I look back at 30 years of ministry, I've hardly used it, except at a funeral. And one of the reasons that I've struggled in using it is because I think that so often the Lord's Prayer is kind of like an automatic prayer. It can be said in 30 seconds or less, or has 30 words in it. And you can say it without thinking about it. And I've always struggled with that. I tend to see the Lord's Prayer as a skeletal prayer. Our Father in heaven, I can easily pray, because you're my Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I've struggled to use it in terms of just as a congregation, because our minds must always be involved in what we pray. That's what gives God the glory. What a privilege we have. We have Jesus, who not only taught us to pray, but was a model of prayer himself. Jesus said seven sentences called words on the cross. Three of them were addressed to his Father. The whole world is blocked out, and he's speaking to his Father. He's a model of prayer, and through him we have access to God. So, please pray with your minds. Be sincere. Be honest. Be open. Be truthful. But in your prayers, just remember who you are praying to. And all the people said, Amen. I'm going to get you to stand now. And we are going to look at Lord's Day 45, question and answer 16, 116, 117 and 118. So would you do that? And then we'll pray. If you agree with the answers, are they up there yet? Good. If you agree with the answer, please join me in saying this aloud. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives us his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them. How does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask for. Secondly, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing. and humble ourselves in his majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what he promised us in his word. What did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. So please remain standing as we pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can communicate with you, that our soul in fact longs to be in fellowship with you, and that you are our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, and that we can speak about all our needs. But Lord, we pray tonight especially that we would pray from our hearts, our minds, our souls, that we would remember who we are speaking to. You, the maker of heaven and earth. You, the one who sent our Lord Jesus Christ to save us. You, who speaks, who battles the nations, who always achieves his purposes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Help us to be those who pray sincerely, honestly, and openly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.